So, Gerard's going to come and share. Do you want to come and get comfortable, Gerard? Just to say, for those who don't know Gerard, Gerard is not going to share his testimony tonight. But he was on a podcast a few weeks ago. If you want to hear the full story of kind of the journey that he has been on, that he and Jeannie have been on, then you can go and listen to that. But Gerald was like keen when me and him spoke this week, going, I want to speak from the Bible. I can tell my story anytime. People can listen to it. I've recorded it. But I want to share from the Word of God. So shall I just pray for Gerard and then we can hand over to you?
Yeah.
Lord, we thank you for Gerard. We thank you, Lord, that he's going to share from your word tonight, Lord, but you have been teaching him things over his life. That means this isn't just in theory, Lord, this is lived out reality. And I pray that he might encourage us, equip us, and know how to do this, live this life that can be so complex at times, but looking at you, Jesus.
So, great to be here tonight. Great to see you all. And thank you for coming. And this is a topic which actually is really, really important. All the surveys show that the number one question that people have about God is, if he's a God of love, why does he allow suffering? One of the main reasons that people fall away from their faith is because of suffering. So it's a huge topic, and it's very important that we have a foundation stone as followers of Jesus, that we understand what the Bible says. And I've come to an understanding through our own journey of suffering. Wrestling with God. It's no problem wrestling with God. God doesn't mind us wrestling with him. We never win, but he likes us to ask him questions and to come to him when we're not sure what's going on. And I did that over many. I've done that over many, many years. Not that I've got all the answers, but he's given me some answers, I think. But I'm open to change as well because I may have got it wrong. And so I'm going to share with you tonight my understanding of why is it that God allows suffering. And then there's going to be, as Luke said, some Q&A afterwards. And you can ask me whatever you want. I may ask Jeannie to help me. She's over there ready. So so we'll do that. So let's jump straight in. Why is there suffering? I think the first thing to understand is the sovereignty of God. What do we mean by sovereignty of God? Basically, we're seeing from Scripture that God is over all things. He holds everything together by the power of his word. If you've got your Bibles, you may want to turn to 1 Chronicles 29. Okay, this is King David at the end of his life. King David was the greatest king of Israel. You could say Jesus was the way bigger than him, that's true, but he was the greatest king of Israel through the Old Testament, and walked with God, loved God. God showed him some amazing things. He went through a lot of hardships, made a lot of mistakes. So I'm reading from 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10, and here's David at the end of his life speaking to the children of Israel, laying down some key foundations for them going forward. And you could say it's good foundations for us as well. Just read a few verses here. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor forever, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." So I think it's pretty clear he's saying there, God, it's all from you. There's a verse in the Bible, which I love, in Romans. Romans 11, verse 36, "From you and through you and to you are all things. To yours be the glory forever. Amen." In another one, in Acts 17, 28, it says, "For we live and move and have our being in you." In Hebrews 1 and verse 3, it says, "For he sustains all things by the power of his word." Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." I think we're getting the message, aren't we? It belongs to God. He created it. He is sustaining it. All power and might come under his rule, okay? And he's holding it all together by the power of his word. Scientists can't understand how the atoms all hold together. They do huge experiments, pay billions of dollars or pounds to try and work out how is it these atoms hold together. And they still haven't discovered it. But what they have discovered is that at the center of the atoms where they hold together, there's a thing called a gluon. A gluon is in the shape of a cross, and that's what holds the things together. It's God's word holds it together. The Bible tells us that. He holds it all together. The fact that we're existing tonight, we're in a shape of a body, is God's grace allowing us to exist. He's over everything. It's all powerful, almighty. He started it. He's holding it together. And when it's time, it'll come to an end as we know it. Okay? So that's the first thing, God's sovereignty. God's providence is working things out for his purposes. And we see that all through Scripture, that actually he allows things to happen for his eternal plan and purpose. Now, the key word is there is eternal. And one of the most important things to understand when we look at suffering is the eternal perspective. And what I mean by that is this life, this age we live in, according to what Scripture says, is an age that's coming to an end. Okay? It's limited time. And then eternity goes on forever. So we started in eternity now. All of us have started in eternity, okay? Because your spirit goes on. This body, I'm getting older now, my body here is wearing out. But when this body actually fails at the end, my spirit will go on. I will go on. My soul, you who you are, will go on. And it says when our tent here on body is gone, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, one that he himself has made that will last forever. So we have an eternal body waiting for us, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? So when you see the eternal perspective, it helps you to see things with a different lens. I struggled for a long time trying to work out how my youngest son, who had committed suicide, he was 17 years old, and we were absolutely shattered, broken into so many pieces from that. It was a really, really painful time. And I couldn't work out, because I knew God is all, it's all about his glory. It's all about exalting God. Just basically, when God is in the rightful place in our lives and in the earth, things go well. That's how he created it. Things go well. When God is pushed out and we get on the throne, things don't go well. It doesn't go well at all. In fact, it starts going down like that. So I couldn't work out, Lord, how is it that this brings you glory that Alex has gone in this most horrific way? I couldn't work it out. We're having people write to us, Christians, non-Christians, saying, hang on, you're following Jesus. How come this could happen to you? That's a fair question, isn't it? It's a good question. And I couldn't work it out to start with. And then the Lord showed me eternity. And when I mean that, I had an epiphany of eternity. I started to see things at another level, another depth, so to speak. And I realized actually that as much as it's painful now that we don't have Alex with us and our life was in a wreck, I realized God was going to turn it round for his glory and for his good. And that I was going to see Alex again. He knew Jesus. He's not actually dead now. He's actually his body is dead, but actually he's with Jesus now. And I'm going to see him again. And we'll be together for eternity. And God's no debtor to any person. So our relationship with Alex is going to be that much greater through eternity. Didn't take away the pain. Still, we carry the pain and the suffering. But I started to understand what was going on and what God was seeing, that he was going to turn it around for his good and for his glory. Praise God. So understanding things through the eyes of eternity, very important. Moses says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now, this is very important. If you're making decisions just on the data of this age, you'll make bad decisions. If you're just living for the things down here, you'll make bad decisions. If you put the eternal perspective in there, suddenly you're making decisions on a much better basis, and they're going to be wise decisions. Does that make sense? If you're doing decisions in finance, for example, if you don't consider time in those decisions, you're going to make the wrong decisions. Eternity makes all the difference. So you're a wise person when you consider the eternal perspective. Okay. So God's sovereignty, his providence. Next point, which is really important, is that God loves us with an everlasting love. God is a God of love. Okay? Now, it's not easy sometimes to accept that when you're hurting, when you're in pain. Really, God? How can you allow me to go through this? This is really hurting down here. I'm in pain. In Deuteronomy 8, we read that God led the children of Israel into the wilderness. He caused them to hunger. Why would he do that? That's his people. He loves them. Why would he cause them to hunger? Well, it goes on. He says, he caused them to hunger so they might learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He was teaching them a lesson that far outweighed the cost of what it was to them. Does that make sense? So when we start seeing that God is working something for eternal benefit, yeah, we start to see it differently. So we hear in Romans 8, verse 18, that our sufferings aren't worth comparing with the glory that shall be revealed in us. With the glory that shall be revealed in us. We trust God, he's going to turn this round for his glory and for our good. Praise God. And that's what he does. So how many people have heard the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Yeah, you know the story of Joseph. He had a bad rap, didn't he? Things didn't go well for Joseph. And his brothers beat him up. He became a slave. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison. People forgot about him. He had a rough time. And later on, his brothers, who had done all of this, caused all of this, suddenly it was reversed. David became prime minister. All right, the second most powerful man in the most powerful nation in the world. He became prime minister, and now his brothers come before him and they're asking for food. And they're terrified that he's going to take revenge on them. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says this, when his brothers realized that he knew who they were, they knew who he was, they thought he was going to take revenge. And he said to them this, what you did was evil. You intended this for evil. And we're not denying there's not evil. There is evil. But God intended it for good, for the saving of many souls. So what happened with Joseph being prime minister, he was able to save literally hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people because of the position he was in. And God had prepared him for that position. So right at the center of our faith, the Christian faith, is the greatest suffering, you could argue, on the face of the earth. When the spotless, the perfect Son of God, Jesus Christ, okay, who was created all of this whole universe, he put it all together. He's over it all. He came down to show us what God's love is like. Okay, he was rejected by us. Okay, and then he went through the most horrific death you can imagine. Tortured. In front of his mother. In front of his heavenly father. In front of the angels in heaven. He'd done nothing wrong. He'd simply come to show us God's love. And to provide a way for us to be free from our sins, the things that separate us from God, the things that miss God's mark. We all know that what those sort of things are. God sees it. His standard is way, way above anything that we could ever meet. All right, people say, well, you know, I do a few wrong things, but I do a lot of good things as well. And I think the scale is going to tip in my favor. I'm going to disappoint you tonight. You'll never meet God's standards. You'll never meet God's standards. You never can. So if we take this wall, for example, all right, top of the wall, this is the standards we go. Top of the wall, who's the best person you can think of? Your mum? Maybe your mum? Mother Teresa? Maybe someone else at the top of the wall? Bottom of the wall, who would you say? Hitler? Pol Pot? Someone like that? Right at the bottom of the wall. You're probably up here. I know Bob's way above me, right up the top there. Nick's up there, you know. I'm struggling down the bottom here still. But the problem is, the thing is, what's God's standard? Because there's only one standard that counts, isn't it? Your my standard doesn't really count anything when it comes to judgment, does it? God's standard is the sky. We've all missed it by miles. So there's only one way for us to be rescued. There's only one way to have our sins forgiven. Was there for there to be a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, to meet God's justice? Because you see, if there's a just God, there has to be punishment for sin. Would you agree with that? You wouldn't want to see a paedophile go free from punishment, would you? It's wrong, there needs to be punishment. That's justice. And God is just. And so Jesus himself, God himself said, I will come and I will be the substitute for them. I will come and take their place. Fully man, fully God, Jesus came down to earth. Not only did he show us God's love, but he actually took the place that you and I deserve. And he himself took God's punishment on himself when he died on that cross. And his blood was shed so that our sins might be forgiven. And in that place, it says in John 3:16, one of the most well-known verses, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Isn't that amazing? That's why they call it good news. You can't earn it, you'll never earn it, but you can receive it. And you receive it by believing in him and trusting in him. And there may be some people who come in tonight and they don't yet know Jesus. They haven't yet had their sins forgiven. Tonight's the night that you can get right with God. What does that mean when you get right with God? It means that there's no barrier between you and God, the Almighty God. And he takes us into his arms. See, all of this is because he loved us, because of God's great love for us, because he's rich in mercy, didn't give me what I deserved. He made us alive in Christ Jesus. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, by grace, we've been saved by faith in Jesus. Praise God. Is that good news? That's the love of God that he does it. So God's love is there for us all the time. And he cares about all that we go through. Now, how did this start in the first beginning? And so you have to go back right to the beginning of Genesis. How is it that we've got this suffering in the world, this sin in the world? So we go back to when God created us, human beings, okay? And we're told as Adam and Eve was there. Yes, I believe absolutely in Adam and Eve. They were there on the earth. And God gave them very clear instructions. You can eat from all the trees in the field, but you mustn't eat from this one tree. If you do, you will die. Okay, just couldn't get clearer than that, could it? And it turns out that there was a serpent in the field. Basically, it was Satan, came along and tempted Eve. And she took of that fruit. They shouldn't have done it. And gave it to Adam, did the same thing. And they made a decision. Here's a decision. Now, this is really important. They made a decision that they weren't going to live for God being God and God being in control and God being Lord over their life. They made a decision that they were going to be Lord of their lives. And they pushed God out, and they now were on the throne of their lives. And it's called in the Bible, it's called the fall. And they fell out of relationship with God because sin came into the world. And with sin came death. Like God had said, if you do it, you're going to die. You will spiritually die. They were still alive physically, but spiritually they had died. Yeah? So they were separated now from God. And with that came suffering. You see, death basically is a corruption of the human race. Not only the human race, the whole of the universe is impacted by our sin. The whole of the universe is impacted by sin. All the animals, all of the plant life. Death comes in. That's why leaves die. That's why trees die. Animals die. Death came in when sin came in. Sin's a horrible thing, isn't it? Sin is a horrible, horrible thing. But praise God, he came with Jesus and made a way for that to be taken out of the way so we can be in relationship with God for eternity. Praise God. So that's where it came in. That's when it first started. And with the death came suffering. That's why it's in. God gave us free will because you can't have perfect love without free will. Would you agree with that? If I try and say this to Jeannie, you're going to have to love me. There's no choice. You're going to have to love me. I don't think that love would be real, do you? I don't think she would love me from that basis at all. I couldn't love someone like that. You've got to have a choice to say, no, I don't want to. And God gave humankind that choice to say no to him and yes to themselves. And they made a choice to do it. Are you following me with this? Is it making sense? So free will says, no, we want to reject God. And that's happened through history. And so now you get, James says in the epistle of James, he says, why is there all the wars going on in this world? Why is there all the fighting going on? And then he answers it. It's a question he knew the answer, obviously. He answers them. He says, because there's a fighting going on within you. You don't have, and so you fight other people to get it. Happens in the playground, doesn't it, with children right from the very beginning. And it goes on. Today, right up to politics and nations fighting each other. It's selfishness. Am I on the throne? Who's on the throne of your heart? Is it you? Or is it God? Who deserves to be on the throne of your heart? I can tell you, it's not you. It's God, because you belong to him, actually. And so that's the choice we actually have, to make a choice to say, I'm living for Jesus. I want him to be Lord of my life. And then things start to flow from that. So it caused selfishness to come in, caused it to fall. And I want to just say this as well. God hates suffering. He hates death. It breaks his heart. We read in Genesis 6 that when God saw all the pain and the suffering in the world, his heart was broken. And yet, this is the path that he allowed us to go through because he wants a people that choose to love him. Yeah? The Bible says that actually he's preparing a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good for eternity. So those of us who receive Jesus here, we're going to be with him for eternity. That's our choice, isn't it? If you choose to reject Jesus, that's your choice to not be with him for eternity. Does that make sense? You're choosing not to be with him for eternity. And to be apart from God is to be apart from love. You can imagine what that's like. Horrific, isn't it? So we're making a choice. We're saying, yes, God, I want to be your way. He hates suffering. I remember after Alex passed, our youngest son, I used to go down out of my study at night and I used to weep until I had no more tears to cry. And I was a complete wreck. And one night I was down like that. It was middle of the night and I was just down crying and crying, sobbing. And I felt an arm around me. And it was so real that I turned to see who was there. And there was no one physically there. But then I realized actually it was Jesus was there. It was Jesus. And what I noticed was that he was sobbing with me. He was literally sobbing, not just ordinary little, tear. He was really crying with me. And I was surprised. And then I realized that God actually feels every bit of suffering that goes on in this world. Maybe you're suffering at this time in your life. Do you know God sees you? And he cares about you. He cares what you're going through. And it breaks his heart. Now you might say, well, why doesn't he stop it all? And the answer is he's going to. There will be a day when Jesus comes back and this age comes to an end. This age comes to an end. And all those who have received him will be with him. Those who have rejected him, it's their choice, they've rejected him, will not be with him. So now you realize God's mercy. On the one hand, his heart breaks for all the suffering in the world and all the suffering out in Bassett Street and around this area. All the suffering that's going on right now. There's a lot of it, isn't there? He sees it all. It breaks his heart. And yet every day he gives us is another day for precious souls to be rescued for eternity. Maybe you're one of those souls tonight to be rescued for eternity. You're not here by coincidence. God's calling on your name tonight and saying, I want you with me for eternity. Would you receive Jesus? Would you accept him? So it's God, praise God, he fills the brokenness. And God redeems it through the cross. What we mean by that is that he wins us back to himself. So even with the fall, God wins us back. I think what I'll do is I'll probably, because I've probably talked enough for now, leave some place for some questions, I think, Luke. Three ways, come up, three ways we fall into suffering, okay? There'll be other ones, but three ways I want to highlight. One, because we live in a broken world. Would you accept it's a broken world? And so we bump up against brokenness and people doing nasty things and things like that. That's one way we come into suffering in our lives. Secondly, because we choose to go down paths that are going to harm us. And God warns us, says, don't do that. That will hurt you if you go that way. And we say, well, I'm Lord, I want to do what I want to do. And we end up, sure enough, getting badly hurt. And then thirdly, it's because God has a special work for our lives. And he allows us to go through these things because he's preparing us for something great in our lives. You go through history, through the people in the Bible, you'll find very few people through the Bible who God used who didn't suffer. Joseph, we've already mentioned. King David, Moses, on and on. The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, into the New Testament. Paul went through incredible suffering. And of course, Jesus, right at the center of our faith, went through great suffering, all through history. Okay? And one thing we can be certain of is that God says, in this world you will have trouble. Jesus said that. John 16:33. Take heart, I've overcome the world. So he gives us the ways to triumph in the suffering. And perhaps we have some questions on that, Luke, about that, or you've got some other ones. But how is it then we triumph in suffering and all of that? Is that fair enough?
Right, let's give Gerard a round of applause for sharing. So we'll do question set. I'm gonna set the tone with a hard question. So let's not feel like we need to go on woolly questions with Gerard. We're gonna grill you so that on your train home.
I'm pleased I'm sitting there.
So I guess you've talked about the eternal perspective.
Yeah.
Why doesn't God just stop it? Yeah. Things from happening.
Yeah.
Why he can. If we talk about he flung the stars into space.
Yes.
It feels like it could be a bit of a get out of jail free card by saying, "Oh, eternity."
Yeah. That's a big question. So absolutely, he could step in, and as I said earlier on, he will step in at one point. He will step in, but he's given us this place where he wants it to be an environment. And let's also say this: sometimes he does. Sometimes he steps in when we cry out to him. And immediately we get released from the pain. Might be a physical pain. It might be a relationship issue. Could be all sorts of things. Sometimes he does. The apostle Paul was going through a really tough time. We're not sure what it was, but it was certainly hurting him a lot because he was crying out to God and saying, "God, save me from this. Help me from it." And in that instance, God basically said, "No, I'm not going to do that. But I want you to know my grace is sufficient for you." And so I think there's a mixture of answers in there. Sometimes he will step in. Other times, because he knows best, we're accepting he's sovereign, aren't we? Other times he will say, "No, I want you to learn about my grace. If you're a believer, I want you to learn about my grace." What is God's grace? If grace is sufficient for us, what is it? We need to know that, don't we? And basically, I like to define grace as being Jesus. So Jesus made himself available to us when he died on the cross. He said, "My body is given for you." And what did Jesus do? He triumphed over everything Satan threw at him, everything the world threw at him. He triumphed over it all, didn't he? And he's saying, "I will make my life available to you. I will come to you in your pain and your suffering, and I will enable you to triumph in this. You'll experience my life at a level you wouldn't otherwise experience." And that's what I experienced that when we were going through incredible suffering. I knew that God wanted me to keep loving Jeannie. She was in absolute darkness, and got out of the grief, she basically hated herself. She had lost faith in God at that time. She wanted to leave me. And God was telling me, "You've got to keep loving her." And I didn't have any love in my heart left. I was so broken. But I knew he was telling me, "I want you to keep loving her." And so what did I do? Well, there's a verse in the Bible, and you want to write this verse down. It's Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16. And this is my watchword through all of the pain. And basically what happened there was, it says that we go boldly to the throne of grace, where grace flows from, to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I was in great need. There may be some of you in need here tonight. Maybe things your tough things in your life. You need help. Grace basically is the equipping you need to go through. This is Hebrews 13:20-21. It's the equipping you need to be able to be the person God wants you to be and to do the things that God wants you to do. Okay, that's the equipping God has promised us. So he's saying, I will give you what you need in your time. My grace is sufficient for you. So later on, Paul said, oh great, I'm going to start rejoicing in my suffering now because I'm going to receive from God the things that I need. When I'm weak, he said, then I'm strong. How can you say that? Because he's drawing on a source of life that's beyond him. And when you realize that there is that source of life available, it's Jesus, boy, you're bold. You can be bold. You don't have to fear anything, do you? Even death itself. Because you know that God's over it and he will see you through. And so I cried out, God, give me more love. I need more love for Jeannie. I haven't got it in myself. And then I'd go back to bed, go back to sleep before going on to work. I'd wake up in the morning and I had more love for Jeannie in my heart. Where did that come from? That came from the throne of grace. And God had done it for me. Now, sometimes God can answer us financially. Incredible answers financially it comes to us. It may be help. I mean, even help from exams. I ask God all the time, hey, God, when I'm going through a hard time now, I need more grace here, Lord. It could be wisdom. It could be strength. It could be peace of mind. Maybe I'm being challenged. It could be I'm in pain. Lord, relieve this pain. We have a source of grace, a source of life available to us as Christians that is incredible. So we go to that throne of grace on a regular basis. Give me more grace. So I think the answer is it's not one thing or another. It's a multiple answer that says God does answer sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes grace. If people don't know Jesus, in one sense, they're learning that apart from him is death. There's a great verse in the Bible. You want to might write this one down as well. Romans 8 verse 6, okay? And it says this. It says the carnal mind, okay, the mind think is set on things of self, pleasing yourself, is death. What does that mean? It means basically you're going to be miserable. You're going to have a rough time if you're thinking carnally. But the mindset on the things of the spirit, in other words, doing God's things, is life and peace. You want to learn that because it's incredibly powerful. So if I'm thinking for myself, it's going to be miserable. If I think for things of God, I'm going to have life and peace. Isn't that amazing? These are the keys for life. These are the keys for being victorious. So does that answer the question a bit? Tell me if not, and I'll have another verse of another round.
No, I think it's good. So hands up if anyone else got a question. Nick, should we give other people a chance, or do you reckon? Has anyone got any questions? I realise, Gerald, this is like a big topic, and I realise you've come out this evening, Munya. I'll come to the back. Nick, hold your one, because I'm sure you're doing.
Why does God allow suffering, why does he allow you to suffer so much to the point where you're about to break, and then he comes with hope and kind of changes your life around? Why does he always do it at the last second rather than earlier in the time that you're suffering for?
Again, things will vary in terms of answers. We've had answers in our life sometimes where we needed something, we're in a great need, we've asked God, and the answers come straight away. Other times we've had to wait. Now, one of the things we know about waiting is that we have to be patient. We don't like having to wait for things sometimes, do we? And yet it says, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. For you know the testing of your produces,
patience, isn't it? Produces patience, and faith as well, you're right, in Peter.
But patience must finish its work that you may be mature and complete. So patience in our Christian life is really, really important. You mature as a Christian when you learn patience. And so often when God says, the answer's not no, it's wait to your prayers. Okay, it's not that God hasn't answered you, he's just saying, wait. And so you have to be patient. And patience leads to character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. That says that in Romans 5. So does that help? So it's varied. You can't give one stop question. It varies. It could be immediately, but it could be wait. Or maybe it's halfway through. The thing is, you want to keep looking at God, and he will give you the grace to do that. Always comes back to grace. Go on, Nick, you've got a big one for me.
You said that God works everything for his glory and for our good. Can you give the best example you can think of, or maybe Jeannie too, of how the pain that you suffered, which is probably more than most of us have suffered, how has God worked that for his glory and for your good?
Be ready, darling. I'll have a stab to start with. You see if you've got something as well. So, for those of you who don't know all of the story, outline it. And it's not, I don't like doing this because you miss it really. But so our youngest son Alex passed at 17. 2 months after that, my sister passed of cancer. A few years after that, my brother passed of cancer. Just after that, Jeannie's nephew died in a car accident, and then the unbelievable happened when our beautiful daughter, 32, she was an absolute amazing woman of God, died in a tragic accident in Lake Michigan. So two of our three children are waiting for us in heaven, and it's been hard. See, suffering is painful. The cross was really painful for Jesus. And we don't get away from the fact that suffering is painful. We don't try and pretend, oh, everything's, no, it's fine. No, it's not. It's painful. But God does provide an answer through it by his grace, by his comfort through the Holy Spirit. He comforts us. He helps us through the church, other relationships. You know, they come alongside us. And so one of the things that God does through suffering is he gives us empathy. Now, when I say empathy is the ability to actually put yourself in someone else's shoes. We should all have compassion for another human being that's suffering. It's not the same as empathy. Because if I don't know what you've gone through, I can't say, I understand what you're going through. You don't understand. You're sorry for me, but you don't understand it. But if I've been through it down that road, I do understand. And now I can come alongside people that I wouldn't otherwise be able to come alongside. So in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, it says, with the comfort whereby we've been comforted, we're able to comfort other people. Yeah? So we've been able to help. We have a ministry called Awakening to God Ministries. We have over 600,000 Facebook followers. I think it's 16,000 YouTube followers, and it's quite. We literally reach millions of people online now with messages of comfort and hope to be able to come alongside people and say, I know what you're going through. We've ministered to people on the phone, on Zoom, all over, face to face, being able to come alongside them because they're broken in their suffering. Their children have passed, and it's hurting. And so we can be Jesus' hands and feet here on earth and come alongside them, like you can out in Bassett Street, where you've been through a tough time and God's brought you to a place where you now can offer comfort to other people. Does that make sense? And so I think, Nick, that's one of the things that when we go through it, we can help other people. There's lots of ways that God works through suffering to be able to turn it for glory and our good. And he's no debtor to any person. If you suffered in your life, God's permitted it. He never caused it. You would never say God causes suffering. He doesn't. Okay, it's come through sin, comes through Satan and other forms. But he permits it. He has to because he's sovereign. And we see that with Job. Remember the story of Job? And Job came and said, hey, I want to have a go at... Satan said, I want to have a go at Job. And and God said, you can, but here's the boundary. And he came at him. And then he Job didn't yield, so Satan came back and he said, I want another round. Give me another go. And he came back and had attacked him his health. Do you remember that? But there was a boundary. There was a boundary. Peter, Jesus said, Satan has sought to sift you, Peter, but I've prayed that your faith would not fail. Yeah, it didn't say, I'm praying that you won't get sifted. I'm praying that your faith would not fail. Peter, James, Paul all talked about suffering as something to be embraced. Philippians 1:29 says that we've been given the privilege. Now this will be hard for you. You've been given the privilege not only to believe in Christ, but the privilege to suffer for him.
Amazing. Paul said, I carry around in my body the death of Jesus through suffering, that the life of Jesus might also be seen in my body. There's something about laying our lives down in suffering that releases Jesus so that they can see more of Jesus in us through the suffering. Does that make sense? Danny, sort me out with an answer. I did give you, I warned you.
I wasn't going to say a thing. I can't even remember the question. It was
Nick was saying
the purpose,
the way that God has worked through our suffering to help others.
It was more than that. Sure.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. So you said that God is suffering for you, suffering for His glory.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our good.
Yes.
And
yes.
An example of that.
Okay.
Well, I don't think I can extend on what you said, but. I do know that God suffers with us because as I went on, God showed me so deeply his suffering, which I think as a young Christian, I didn't fully appreciate because I was very young then, like most of you. But my sweet Rebecca, who's in heaven now, she said to me when our hearts were breaking and we couldn't breathe for sorrow, she said to me one day, "You know, God breaks your heart for a reason." And that was so incredibly freeing. And what I found is that Gerard said, we have been given suffering. That is what God has called Gerard and I to, suffering. And we have been honored. There is, as you all know, so much suffering in this world. And I am always in the book of Job because I learned so much from Job. Do you guys read Job ever? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I'm obsessed with Job. I learned so much from Job. Honestly, when I was a brand new Christian, I don't think I even though I had all these lovely, sparkly verses. But the purpose is that suffering is never for nothing. And I think that it's a calling. And God has given us the most incredible, deep walk with him. Now, I will say this, I'd rather not have any of that. I'd rather have my children. But who am I to challenge God like Job? Who am I? And I used to think I used to think it was all about me. It's not. It's all about him. And so all your sufferings are for him. It's what the glory you're gonna go so deep. It's incredible. The joy that comes. We were at a meeting once and we were the speakers because people wanted to know how. The number one question we get is, how do we carry on? Isn't it? The number one question in America. And this was such an incredible thing. When we went up, they said, "Oh, we didn't realize you were the speakers. You are so full of joy," which is all glory to the Lord. So, I don't know if that answers anything.
Oh, it's good, Danny.
But we just love Jesus.
Yeah. Very good. Can you just hold it? Can I just want to get this? Can you put these scriptures up, if you will? It's 2 Corinthians 4, 15 through 18. I want to read this with you. This is if you want to read a chapter about suffering, read 2 Corinthians 4. It's where Paul talks about all the suffering, and he gives us some really powerful keys. So he's talked about his suffering. We come to verse 15 and he's saying, all this, that's all his suffering, all that he's gone through, is for your benefit. So that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow for what? For the glory of God. There's the glory of God. Thanksgiving to overflow. So they're starting to learn how Paul is triumphing in his sufferings. He's overcoming in his sufferings. It reaches more and more people's ears, and they realize this is great. This world can't touch him.
Satan can't touch him. He's in victory. He's in triumph. And it causes thanksgiving to overflow. Now, these last three verses are really powerful. Therefore, okay, in view of what I've just said, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, as you're getting old like we are, we realize how much we're wasting away. Yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. 17. For our light and momentary. Now think of eternity. You're going through a hard time. Relative to eternity, it's a blink of an eye. For our light and momentary troubles are doing what? Are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Is God a debtor to any person? Didn't he say, whatever you're willing to lay down, I'll repay 100-fold in this life and in the life to come? 100-fold. Now, I don't know if it means that's going to be, we're going to have 100 Rebeccas and 100 Alexes in heaven. I don't think it means that. It means a quality of life. That means there's a quality of life that's coming. The eternal perspective. So, in view of that, so what do? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Isn't that amazing? Is eternal. Are you living for the things down here? Colossians 3, okay, it talks about getting your hearts on things above, getting your minds on things above. Are you living for things down here? You could be disappointed. If you're living for the things up there and you're living for what God wants and his will and his purposes to bring a smile to his face, you'll never lose out. You're building your life on a solid rock and you won't lose out. I think Patrick had a question over there. Are you still with it? Pat, have you answered it?
Oh,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
Hard one,
Pat.
Hard one,
I really feel you're in Jeannie's pain. I really do. When my mum passed away, and one of them, sorry, I don't want me to upset you, all right? I found I didn't have much joy. You know, I'd lost a person I really cared about so much. And today, it still hurts today. But it's not really a question, but I just want to say, like, you know, me and mum, we have Jesus in our life, so we have the opportunity to, you know, to heal the pain. It's still painful now, but through church and, you know, through people, like, I've got a lot of people behind me and they really helped. So my question to you, how do we try to be joyful when times are really tough?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think the first of all, let's just say again, grief, suffering is not something you go, oh, this is great, all right? It hurts and there's tears. And there's pain. And Pat was saying yesterday morning how he cried. And I said, well done, Pat, for crying. It's good. And for us guys, it's good to cry. Okay, we can laugh, we can cry. So it's just a different emotion. But we can be ourselves. And part of healing, because there's a healing going on in grief, is that we cry. And we let those emotions out. Okay? The joy comes in Jesus being Lord on our hearts, Lord in our lives. Okay, it's not something you can try and generate. It just comes naturally. I can't explain how I have this joy flowing up within me, other than the fact that I know who it is. I know who's given me that joy. And it's like Jeannie said, we have unbelievable joy. The Apostle Paul said, suffering yet always rejoicing. It's a paradox. The world cannot understand it. We have people looking at us, what are you on? You know, what are you taking? And it's simply that we've got Jesus reigning in our hearts, triumphing in our hearts. That's what it is. You can't force it. It's just because you're living in him and he's living in us. And it's the Spirit of God that's flowing within him. And like he said, you'll have from within you rivers of living water flowing up to eternal life. It's him. He does it. It's the way of living that the world doesn't understand.
Thank you so much. And thank you guys for sharing your testimony. Should we give him a round of applause again? I wonder if we could sing one more song, Drew and Liz. Jared, I wondered if you talked about particularly about having empathy. Mm. And I guess the questions have kind of been, how do we deal with suffering? Mm. When we have a friend,
yeah,
or a family member,
yeah,
or someone we know,
yeah,
how do we respond not just by texting saying, yeah, praying for you,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
or thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got like a nugget of going, this is what, whenever we hear of something that we just want to, what would you say?
I would say that one of the greatest ways we can reach out to someone is the gift of presence, just being with somebody. If they're really hurting and their grief is really red sore, don't try and offer any scripture necessarily unless you have an angel come down to you, tell you to do it, all right? Because often that doesn't work at all. It's the opposite. It turns people away. But just being with people, you can just sit with them. Maybe you just. Sometimes I've just done, just you know, reach out, just do that with someone, and it's just communicating that, hey, I feel your pain, and then you know in time there's a place where you can say I'm so sorry, and feel their pain with them, and you know just say that I'm praying for you. I want you to know you're praying at time, but you have to be trying to be sensitive for timing. Because you don't want to be saying things to people at the wrong time. Try and put yourself in what they're going through and the pain that they're in and come alongside them in the right way. So, sensitivity is so key. And just asking God, obviously praying for them, asking God to help you. So does that help?
Yeah. Do you mind praying for us? Should we stand and then we can sing?
Yeah. Yeah, Father, we do want to thank you so much for Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he came from the glory of heaven and came and walked amongst us in this broken world. And Lord, we spat on him and we whipped him and we beat him up. And he went through that horrific death that we might have life. Shed his blood for us. Lord, we're so grateful. Jesus, we're so grateful for you. Thank you that you overcame death, sin and death for us. And now you're at the right hand of God in heaven, Lord, interceding for us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come and you comfort us. And you glorify Jesus by taking from what is his and making it known to us. And I pray for anyone who's suffering here tonight. Maybe you're grieving a loss of a loved one. Maybe something hasn't worked out as you'd hoped in your life. You were hoping so much for this to work and it hasn't worked. And you're so disappointed. And you're saying in your heart, God, where are you? How could you allow this to happen, God? Lord, maybe there's other things that are going on in your life. Father, I pray that everyone here tonight would know that you're close to them and you care about them. And they'd feel your comfort. And they'd reach out to you at this time to say, Lord, would you help me? Please help me, Lord. Would you give me more grace in this situation? Please, Lord, would you do this, we ask. And for anyone here, maybe there's someone here tonight who's come in and you haven't received Jesus as your Savior. You've turned away from him up to this point. But tonight you realize that what the Bible says and what other historians says about Jesus coming, it's true, he did. God came, Emmanuel came and lived amongst us for a while to show us God's love and then to die on the cross for us. And tonight that you want to acknowledge, yeah, I did live for myself. I turned away from you, God. Yes, I've sinned. And tonight I want to ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Come and would you be on the throne of my life from here on in? Maybe you want to just pray that prayer very, very quietly in your heart, even now. God sees your heart. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence here this night and through this weekend. And Lord, as we go, draw every one of us closer to yourself, Lord, that you might shine your light ever brighter in us and through us to this broken world. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name and all for his glory. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's sing. I just felt like, as Gerald was praying, if you particularly are here and you'd love someone to pray with you, maybe you're suffering at the moment, maybe you just want to respond to what Gerald said, I would encourage you, we've got a bit of space down the front, but if you come down the front, then people can come and pray for you. If you kind of don't ask, it's like you don't have to ask someone, but I'm sure Gerald and Jeannie would happily pray. Bob, Vicky, Nick, myself, there's plenty of others. But if you would just hear and go, do you know what, I'd love someone just to pray for me. Don't worry, you're not going to have to tell your life story. If you want to share what's going on, then please come forward. But yeah, there's nothing holy, it just makes it a bit easier to know who wants prayer. So let's worship, and yeah, if you want to respond in that way, then please do come forward.